Welcome to New Realities. Coming up is my interview with Starfire Tour, time traveling science from early 2017, right after this intro by Duke Williams and the Extremes, The Night Before the Future. New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. I'm very happy to be here today with Starfire Tour, who's going to be talking about a subject that I've been interested in for a long time. Time. We're going to talk about time travel, time shifts. Starfire's been a frequent guest on Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country, on Coast to Coast, and I'm very happy to be talking to you today because we don't understand time. It's somehow a fabrication of consciousness, yet it exists beyond consciousness. How do you understand time, and how can we time travel? Is that possible?
In order to understand time travel, you have to understand the science of time travel. Mm-hmm. And in order to understand the science of time travel, you have to understand what a time shift is and what coexisting timelines are.
Okay.
And timeline edits. Very important.
A timeline.
Timeline edit.
Edit. Mm-hmm. Timeline edit.
Edit.
Oh.
We get edited all the time.
Who's doing the editing?
Well, I'll explain it.
Okay. One thing I do want to say about timelines is I talked to Falco at Domenhor. Have you ever been to Domenhor, Italy?
Nope.
He told me that objects, things, have a temporal value. Like this chair exists as a color, a shape, but in a time, part of its existence is related to time itself.
Yes.
And so that value can be translated and transposed to other levels of reality, I suppose. But does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Technically, I suppose, yes.
Okay. Anyway, they did a lot of time traveling, supposedly, at Domenhor, Italy. But tell me what you know.
I've never been there, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So okay. I'm interested in your right. research.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I discovered time shifts by accident.
Okay.
I was really searching for the science behind the paranormal. Psychic phenomenon, those types of experiences, because as a child, from just a small age, I would have a dream. It was very real to me. It was of events that I had nothing to do with. And then very shortly after that, they came true.
Hmm.
Again and again.
Like and events
again.
In the news, you'd say?
Sometimes they would be events in the news, things that I have no relationship to. I'm 5, 6 years old. What do I know of what's going on in some foreign country or in some other state or somebody else's house?
Hmm.
But they would come true. It's very puzzling. And sometimes I would have these dreams of, well, me just watching television, seeing a movie or something on TV that I had no knowledge of, and then suddenly there it was on television. So these precognitions would occur whether it was something in the real world or something in the fantasy world, as long as they were being experienced.
You know, I think that happens to a lot of people.
Millions.
But they're not aware enough to even recognize that that's happening, or they're not able to put together the pictures, the sequences to match.
It's very possible, but, oh my gosh, millions of people have precognition experiences and postcognition, meaning you can see in the past as well. You can look at events that occurred in the past that might not be clear, but you can go see them.
Is it related to remote viewing at all?
No.
It's not. It's a whole different facility.
Whole different thing.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay
so you would have precog.
Okay, so I have these, all of these psychic experiences, just like millions of other people, but for me, I'm thinking there's a science.
And there must be a science.
And there must be.
Yeah, to the paranormal, to everything, to life and death, there's science that we have yet to evolve into understanding.
That's how I saw it. And now I went to lectures. I read books. I saw documentaries. I talked to people, experts and non-experts. I could not get a satisfactory explanation. Oh, there were lots of people who believed very forcefully in what they thought was the root science of the paranormal, but it didn't it didn't satisfy what I was experiencing, and then I would talk to other people with similar experiences, and it wasn't working out.
Right.
So I kept on going, and one day I stumbled across something very interesting. I had an experience at a time, once upon a time I was married.
And once upon a time you were married?
Once upon a time I was married.
Okay.
And it was like a fairy tale, once upon a time.
Okay.
It's that far back.
It wasn't happily ever after, though.
No. Once upon a time means not happily ever after.
Okay.
So, but at this time, we had a friend of mine who worked at NBC came to visit. And I'm just one of those people that things happen around. And so we went up on the roof to look at the stars and to see how beautiful it was. And there comes this unidentified flying object, a UFO, this light acting very peculiarly. And so he took film of it. So I have this film. Yeah, so I have this film. But he also took film of all of us before we went up on the roof. So there's a documentary there, a documentation of an unedited film. Of myself, my ex-husband, him, the cats that I owned at the time.
Before, during, and after.
Mm-hmm. So this is completely documented. There's a time capsule there. All right. Now, the next day, in the newspaper, there is a little article of a highway patrolman who chased a UFO down the highway. That's unusual.
Yeah.
It made the paper, highway patrol. And that highway was only a couple of miles from where we were.
Was it? Do you want to mention where? It doesn't matter.
I'd rather not.
That's fine. That's fine.
At this time.
That's okay.
Okay. So it's documented, though.
Okay.
Okay, fine. So we saw what we saw. Now we have this highway patrolman. He's chasing it down the highway.
At the same time. So it was the same object.
And, you know, I clipped out the article. I have it. I have the film, have the article. And, of course, I met my husband at a certain time. I married him at a certain time. We got our cats at a certain time. My friend came to visit at a certain time. It's in a certain year.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite documented. All right. Fast forward many, many years, and now I'm by myself. I'm here. And I decide that I want to take this piece of film and I want to transfer it to a more modern medium.
Right, because okay. It dissolves films and, you know.
So I took it to a place that does that, and I had to give a title for the little film. So I gave a title, and the title had a year. Fine, okay. I went home, and suddenly, bam, I sort of wake up in the middle of the night, and I think, what year did I give? That doesn't seem right. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, I better go back and find the article of the highway patrolman who was chasing the UFO, and that'll tell me exactly when it was. So I went back, I found the article, and again, it's a very unusual occurrence for a highway patrol officer to be chasing a UFO and for it to make the paper.
Yes.
I looked at it, and that couldn't be right because the year that was listed was a year before I ever met my then husband, a year before I'd ever married him. A year before I'd ever even been in this place where we were filming everything. Yet it was the same event happening in two different years.
Mm.
A year in which it was documented, marriage certificate, documentation, rental of the apartment, friend coming down. But the highway patrolman article was a year before. How can that be? Oh, that was a puzzler. But it was the first of many puzzlers that I began to put together because very soon I realized that I had evidence of the exact same event occurring in two separate years.
Could it have just been two separate events?
No, that's what I'm telling you.
Mm.
The same event, a highway patrol officer chasing a UFO near the place where we were doing it. That's not something that you get every day. It's not a usual.
So what's happening with the time then?
I didn't know at the time.
Okay.
but I do now. Years of research led me to understand that the world in which we live is very unstable as far as time goes.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, our brains think that we go from past to the present to the future. But that's not true at all. Our brain also thinks that we live a singular timeline that moves from the past to the present to the future. That's not true either.
So we're jumping timelines?
We're not jumping timelines.
So tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's what I proved.
Okay, tell me. I'm excited.
Well, I was too. Actually, when I did discover what the core matrix was and something that I call time shifts and something that I call coexisting timelines, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I challenged it a lot. It took me 2 years of really going after this piece of science before I was ready to tell the world about it.
Well, tell us, though, what is the discovery? What did you find from that little example? And
well, the first thing that I found was that we don't live in a singular timeline. We live in multiple timelines at the same time.
So a part of us is also having this conversation in another timeline?
We may.
Or doing something else?
We might.
Is this the multiple universe theory?
No.
It's not?
No.
But how many timelines are there?
Unknown. Millions, billions. Here's how it works. Let me condense this to the current, because I discovered this decades ago. All right. What I've discovered is that we actually live in what I call coexisting timelines. These are not parallel timelines. These are not alternate timelines. This isn't, if you have a thought, then that thought leads to branches of a timeline. None of that is the way it works at all.
I agree with you, I think. I mean, it seemed unlikely that the universe was bifurcating every single second with every single thought.
Well, you know, I now know that's not how it works, but it's a good beginning. It's a good beginning to get to where you need to go.
So how do you think it works?
Okay, the way that it works is there's something called a core matrix. Now, I used to call it the Matrix, but then they made a movie called The Matrix, and people got very confused between the science fiction science and actual science, which was mine. So I changed the Matrix name to the core matrix. The core matrix is kind of like a huge hard drive in which all of the elements of the entire cosmos is contained. Not only are all of the elements contained, but they stream out as coexisting timelines. Now, I call them coexisting timelines instead of alternate timelines or parallel worlds or parallel timelines because these other timelines actually exist in the exact same space. Not side by side, not another dimension, in the exact same space. And the only thing that separates them is their own individual frequencies. Think of a radio. Think of a radio and a transmitter where you have AM, FM, you have the dials, and you want to pull in this station or that station, and you just change the frequency of what you're doing. But all of those radio stations are still streaming. They're still out there.
So right now, in this moment, there are coexisting timelines where we're maybe having the same conversation or not. How do you see this moment? Let's take this space we're in right now.
I can't do it that way.
Okay, tell me.
Because it doesn't work that way.
Okay, tell me how you want to do it.
Simplifying it, doing my best to do that.
No, it's okay. Okay.
And I appreciate it.
Okay.
The core matrix is like the hard drive, right? And there's a reason why the core matrix exists, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But the existence of the core matrix means that these streaming timelines have a purpose, okay? And they have a way that they function. And it's called something called a time shift. And literally, I called it that because time does shift. Let's say, like you say, this is us here. We are in the here and now. Our consciousness is all agreed. We're here.
Okay.
Okay? All right. But our unconsciousness, another of us, is in another coexisting timeline. And if nothing has altered to where we might not meet, then yes, we're in a very similar situation, just like this. Mm-hmm. But there's something else. There's a whole other thing going on called a timeline edit. Mm. And here's what happens. The core matrix streams all of these coexisting timelines, but they have a destination. And for purposes of just our discussion here, let's say the destination is planet Earth. Planet Earth, where everyone is living what they think is a singular timeline. But in actuality, the sun is having a tremendous effect on our planet. And when it sends out its energy, either as a solar wind or some sort of plasma, it affects the planet, causing various things like frame dragging. When it hits our planet, it creates a shifting in time. And during that shifting in time, the timeline becomes edited, just like you would edit a script.
It's edited with intention for a reason, not just arbitrarily.
It's not arbitrary, and there's a reason, but it's not a conscious reason, as we might make a decision to go left or right if we're driving our car. Mm-hmm. The core matrix is the whole key. Would you like me to tell you?
Yeah, tell our audience.
Okay. The core matrix is the entire key. See, a long time ago, our cosmos was absorbed by a mega black hole. And around that mega black hole is something called an ergosphere, a rotating ergosphere.
Ergosphere?
Ergosphere, E-R-G-O, sphere.
Okay, which means?
Well, it's a form of energy that actually circles around a black hole, and the ergosphere captures some of the energy of the destroyed cosmos before it can go into the black hole. So the ergosphere actually captures particles, elements, things like that. And it's within this ergosphere, after billions of years, that the spark of life starts life all over again. And the way that the core matrix works is it determines to recreate the original cosmos of which it captured particles from.
Including the time-space matrix that we're living in.
Yes.
Okay.
We are living. We do. This is not a hologram. Not a hologram. This is real. This is real. Okay? Every coexisting timeline is real, and we are there. But our consciousness is shifted by a time shift to only be aware of one, what I call a dominant coexisting timeline. That's where our consciousness is. We're in a dominant timeline, but every single coexisting timeline that ever streamed still exists.
Now,
the ergosphere created the core matrix to handle all of these elements, and the spark of life is something that exists. It's divine. That's something I can't define beyond saying that it's divine. Mm-hmm. Okay? So there is energy outside of us. The core matrix is something that we're part of, but outside of the core matrix, there's a more of the divine mm-hmm. life that goes on. So I have to fall back and say the divine has a big part in this, and the spark of life starts up again through the ergosphere because all of the cosmos was not absorbed into the black hole. So I cannot tell you whether this happens elsewhere,
okay. But
I assume it does.
Why not?
Black holes happen
everywhere.
Right, exactly. Right. Okay. So, here we have all of this streaming energy, and you're asking the right question, which is, how do I know?
Yeah,
how is
you
this
said
not
you
a theory?
Did research.
Right, you're saying, how is this not a theory, and it's actual documented fact?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we want science. Important.
So do I.
In the paranormal, mm-hmm. spiritual consciousness world, that we don't have just theories.
Right.
Because it becomes philosophy.
No, I'm with you completely.
Okay, good.
Completely. My research consists of collecting data from all around the world through the ages where people have had experiences with alterations in the timeline. For example, there's something very famous that occurred between myself, a man named Brandon Scott, Whitley Strieber and the late Ann Strieber. This happened back in, I think, around the mid-2000s. And we went to see Branded perform at a place called the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California. All right? And we just went there to see him perform. We were having a meal. And Brandon went off to prepare for a show, and Anne and Whitley and I were left to talk. And then we went down into the theater arena waiting for the show. And before we did that, we stopped off at the ladies' room.
You and Anne.
Anne and I. And we went in there. And it's a very small ladies' room. And she left first, and I was left in there by myself. And I went to turn to leave, and all of a sudden, this woman appeared from out of nowhere, and I almost collided with her. I had no idea where she came from. Was I not paying attention? I thought of a million reasons of why I might have collided with this lady, but it seemed like, okay. And I went through it was one of those doors that swings back and forth. It's on a hydraulic, so that it closes very slowly, right. And it opens very slowly. Right. Okay, Anne had positioned herself right by the door waiting for me, and Whitley was a few yards away up by a staircase. He was watching because, well, he loved Anne very much, and he kept an eye on her to make sure that she was fine and she had everything that she needed. He was that kind of a husband.
Yes. They had a great connection.
A great connection.
I hosted them in New York, yes.
So I come out of the bathroom, and Anne gets all excited, and she, in fact, it's because...
After you see this mysterious woman.
After I see this mysterious woman, and this mysterious woman, I mean, I totally just let it blow out of my mind. It was just nothing. It was right. Nothing to me. Right. But when I came out of a ladies' room, Anne ran up to me and said, "A lady came out of the restroom, but she never moved in." In other words, she saw her come out before me. But she was standing right there. The lady never entered. Whitley didn't see her. Anne was right here. I never saw her when we were inside of the restroom. It's these types of stories. Anyway, we were at the Magic Castle, and this is a place where trickery occurs. So,
like, there's a natural vortex there, not just like...
No, so that there might be a hidden door.
Right.
So with the Magic Castle's permission and utilizing Brandon Scott the Magician, I launched a very heavy-duty, intensive investigation where I practically took apart that bathroom. There's no back door. There's no trap door. There was nothing. There was no way for that woman to come and go except through that one door. And both Anne and Whitley saw her come out, did not see her go in. But I understood that she made an appearance as I was, you know.
That's why you were so surprised.
Well, because she hadn't been there before. She just suddenly appeared. But because I had already discovered the core matrix, time shifts, time slips, coexisting timelines, I suspected I knew what had occurred. I suspected this was a timeline edit where elements from one timeline are being edited into another timeline and they mashed. It's a mashup, not a good one, because we shouldn't be aware of it happening.
So this woman wasn't aware of, or was she some sort of time traveler?
Well, I didn't know. So I decided, hey, let's see if we can find her. She had exited the ladies' room. Let's see if we can track her down. So, utilizing Brandon, we described her. But Whitley was very smart. He said, "Don't anybody describe this woman." He took me aside privately. Then he took his wife aside privately. And we described the same woman. And it's also the same one that he did. As a matter of fact, we did a show on the History Channel about this, which anyone can see, and it's written up on my website with the entire investigation is written up. Okay, so in the description, we described her to Brandon. Brandon recognized her.
Ah.
She was someone who worked at the Magic Castle. She was somebody there, not a time traveler, not a ghost. a regular person. This is how I know the research goes. So guess what? Tracked her down. But I said to everybody, look, I'm going to interview her because I have a way of interviewing people when I'm doing time shift research, and I don't like to tip them off to anything. Let's just watch how I do it. So Brandon went, he found her, he brought her out, and in front of them, I asked her, I said, oh, hey, didn't I see you in the ladies' room? She goes, yeah, where'd you come from? We had both had the same experience.
She thought you appeared.
Yes.
Oh.
And I was jogging her memory. See, when a time shift happens, when a timeline edit happens, our brains are programmed not to recall them. The core matrix does that.
Because it disrupts our notion of reality.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But there are these glitches all over the world. Millions of people experience things just like this all the time. So, to conclude this, in talking to the lady, she wasn't a time traveler, she wasn't a ghost, she was a real person, but in one timeline, she was in the bathroom at one time. In another timeline, I was in the bathroom with Anne. The timelines got mashed in a timeline edit, and now we had a new dominant timeline.
Uh-huh.
So,
that picked up from there on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, do you ever see those videos on YouTube where the guy's riding a bicycle, car's about to hit him, and someone appears out of nowhere?
I've seen them all, and I haven't seen a legitimate one yet.
You don't think they're legitimate?
I haven't seen a legitimate one yet. I don't know which one you're talking about, but I've seen the buses, the cars,
yeah,
the guys on the
and
bike.
And so,
no.
That's fine. Now, what about ETs? Because a lot of people seem to have a sort of altered state, and then they don't remember, yet they've had these experiences. Is that a timeline edit, the ET experience, the ET abduction experience?
A genuine
yes.
ET experience, which are real.
I believe they're real.
They
Absolutely.
They are.
I've had them. Yes.
Right. Part of my research includes that. There's missing time sometimes. There is an alteration of time. The brain is the interface to the core matrix. Mm-hmm. It's really important to understand. Our brains not only perceive what we perceive through this interface, but extraterrestrials have the ability to trigger that same part of the brain which can alter our perceptions, put in false programming, do all sorts of things. Why they do it is a whole other story, but they can definitely manipulate time. However, all ETs are subject to the same laws of the core matrix. Mm-hmm. They cannot move outside of the laws of the core matrix.
But they seem to be able to manipulate it somehow.
Oh, yes. Easy peasy.
I'll tell you, when I was in Sedona once with some friends, we were hiking, just went into a little hike off of the Oak Creek Canyon. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I lost track. I couldn't, they weren't there, these people. There were about three or four of these other people. Mm-hmm. And I looked everywhere for them. They weren't there. So I just sat down under a tree. And then probably 20 or 30 minutes later, they show up. I say, where you been? They say, where have you been? And they seem really spaced out. I don't know. They seem like something happened. Because
yep.
Then we get back in the car. The woman turns on the car and she turns it on again. She doesn't know the car's on. They're just out of it. I think there was some sort of lapse in dimensional space there.
Very possible.
But it was a very strange experience.
Right. Well, we're talking about the evidence.
Yes.
Okay. One of the biggest pieces of evidence that I've come across is so powerful of these timeline edits that I'm talking about. Because people have these experiences themselves. It's not that I'm telling them about it. And it's something I call the time shift living dead.
Living dead.
Living dead.
Okay.
That's what I call it. It used to be called the alive again, dead again phenomenon. But when I discovered time shifts, I renamed it.
Then what do you mean live and dead?
I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Okay. There are millions of people who have memories of someone dying, and then suddenly they're alive again. And
you mean the memory is not correct, or the
well, that's the coping mechanism that people usually go with. Like, did I get that wrong? Well, when it comes to celebrities, you have a celebrity, which is one singular person that millions of people know, as opposed to people who know just one or three or four or 20 people in their entire life.
Okay. Right.
When you have millions of people who are focused on a celebrity and they have a memory of that celebrity having died, and yet that celebrity is alive again, when you do the research and you discard fake news and you discard mis-memories and you discard a lot of things, when I have thousands of people reporting to me from around the world who do not know each other, and I haven't put out the information that a one singular particular person has died or is alive again, that's evidence. Okay? I told the world about this with a man named Nelson Mandela.
Of course. Everybody knows Nelson Mandela.
Right. I was the person who announced to the world that Nelson Mandela was a time shift living dead person.
How did you get that?
Well, I had thousands of reports from people. I put out information through my private research group that I was looking for anybody who had a memory of someone who had died and was now alive, or someone who was now alive who had died, whether that was a celebrity or a personal person. And I have a list of what I call time shift markers, memory markers, things that they have to pass, a test that they have to pass of mine, which tells me whether or not they've just got somebody confused with somebody else, or they did something wrong with their brain.
So you're saying Elvis is really dead?
Elvis is dead.
Okay, never mind.
No. Nelson Mandela, he's died and come back to life at least four times. And it's become so huge that Nelson Mandela, as a time shift living dead person, is known globally. Okay, now, I mean, the research is ruined on it because it's so well known. But I've been talking about it in interviews, writing about it, teaching
about
it.
Could it be that people are just confused?
Nope.
Why not?
You don't confuse Nelson Mandela with anybody else. He's a unique character in time and space.
Wait, but so is he dead now in this dimension or not?
What do you think?
I think he is. From my latest, what I remembered, sure, like a few...
Mine too.
Okay. But in some people's realities, it's different.
Everyone right now in this dominant timeline, Nelson Mandela is dead.
But in another dominant timeline, could we shift to another timeline?
We don't shift. Our consciousness is turned on and off into a dominant timeline. There is no timeline jumping. That's just fake. There's no such thing. I see people advertising that and trying to get people to believe in that, but there's no such thing.
So how can we work with this research and help us in our lives?
I developed a protocol called Reality Shift Manifestation and Reality Shift Healing, and another thing called Astral Tagging Truth Reveals. Using the science that I discovered dealing with the core matrix, coexisting timelines and time shifts, of which there's a whole larger topic than which I'm discussing right now, I discovered that we can actually help to manifest in our own world a better world for the world and for ourselves. There's a protocol, means that if you do the same thing again and again, you get the same result. That's why it's a science.
So what can we do? Can you, I mean, I know you do whole courses, but what would be like a simple way to use this?
When I first began to develop the protocol, I experimented greatly. I do a lot of experimenting. I would, for example, on my research team, I had them email me 100, it turned out to be 100 items that they wanted to manifest in front of their eyes. In other words, you can do that. Because it's a natural human ability. What I discovered is that humans have a natural ability to manifest objects. They can do it through prayer. They can do it through so many ways.
Materialization.
Oh. Literal materialization.
Oh. I've seen Indian swamis do that, but I haven't... Mm. But so tell me, how do we use your protocol to materialize?
Well, all I did was I discovered the science that makes this happen.
And what is that science?
Reality shift manifestation. And there's a technique of, okay, let's say you want a glass of water.
Okay.
And you don't have one.
Okay.
And there's no water to be had anywhere.
Okay.
But there used to be water here. Okay? There used to be water here. That's really important. Okay. And we assume that in coexisting timelines, there was also water. So we're going to do something called a copy-paste. Do you work on computers?
I always copy and paste.
Great, okay. Copy-pasting, that's...
Cut, copy-paste.
Copy-pasting. So you know that you can go into some sort of a text.
Right.
You can copy-paste it and drop it into... And you're not depleting the original text. Okay?
Right.
All right. That's how this works. You find a coexisting timeline that has what it is you want as long as it's feasible and as long as you're permitted to have it. If you want a yacht, and a yacht's not for you, in other words, you haven't deserved it, you're not going to get a yacht. But the glass of water, we can get you. So the brain being the interface to the core matrix, and every single element in every coexisting timeline, I teach how to tune into various coexisting timelines. Use your brain as copy-paste.
And you can manifest a glass of water.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I have one right here.
Right. So...
I mean...
But you have it, so you're fine.
Okay, but I was thirsty, now that you
mentioned
it.
Please drink. Now, when I was originally doing the experiments, I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean... But I took a list of 100 items, and I went to a place where I knew that these items could be, should be, but I went around with them, and I had people with me to make sure that these items were not there.
Okay.
Okay? For example, one of the suggestions from one of the group was an F-16 fighter jet.
They wanted to manifest that.
An F-16 fighter jet. And I said, well, I said, could it be like a toy? You know, a miniature, so fine, okay. So we go to this place, it's a huge mall, okay? And we go around and we go into the toy stores and we look everywhere to make sure there is no F-16 toy and there's no F-16 flying over and there's no F-16 in the parking lot.
Okay.
It's not there. So I do my thing.
Which is your thing?
My thing is, that's what I teach.
But can you outline it?
I can concentrate on what I want to manifest. I have a list.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on it with everything I've got. I use my brain to reach out to searching coexisting timelines. I can only teach how to do that. I can only speak the words now, but it can be done. And I determine that... F-16 toy is in this toy store, but it's not in this timeline.
You intend it, or you focus, or
there's
you
no
manage.
There's no intent.
How do you determine, I guess I want to know? What's like the science?
It's a feeling.
Okay. I
just know that I did it, and then the proof is there now an F-16 toy in this toy store? Yes, I did that.
So you helped manifest that.
I did manifest that.
You saw it. Evidence.
Yeah, I own it.
And it wasn't there before.
No, we went through. I had people with me. We actually photographed it, filmed it. We made sure there wasn't a single one in that store. I stepped outside. Took 30 seconds. It took all of 30 seconds. I felt it. It was there. Went back in. There it was. I have a photo of it.
So, no, I believe it. But did you shift the core matrix at that point?
No, the core matrix is
so
the core matrix.
So what happened in the timelines or the time shift? What actually went on time-wise?
How did you copy-paste?
So you got a copy and you pasted it into this reality.
I had a list.
Mm-hmm.
This was not my list. It was a list from other people. On that list was an F-16 fighter jet. Okay. I determined to make that F-16 fighter jet appear, to manifest. I went to a place where I felt there could be one. There was a toy store there. Mm-hmm. But there were no F-16 fighter jets in that toy store.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe
okay?
you.
No.
Yeah,
there's more to this.
Okay,
okay?
Tell me.
So we document on film that there is, not only is there no F-16 toy, there are no toy planes at all. Okay? It was the store was called KB Toys.
Right.
And Then I step outside, just right outside, like here's the door. I step outside. I do my thing. I do what I think is going to work. It's an experiment. Mm-hmm. May fail, may not fail. I failed on some of the things. Mm-hmm. I manifested maybe 60 of the 100 items. I couldn't do the other 40. Then we go back in. We walk the same route. We were out of that store 30 seconds.
And it was there.
And it was there.
No, someone told me that.
But there's more.
Okay, I'll tell you my story after figuring yours.
Then we're walking around this place, and someone approaches us with a flyer. They say, hey.
Is that a 16 flyer?
A flyer. That was a good one. A flyer advertising an Air Force flying show. Sure. Right. And I look at the photo. It's an F-16 fighter jet. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Brandon, we have to go. It was in 2 days. I arranged with the Air Force to be a VIP to go. And there are now photos of me standing in front of an F-16 fighter jet. And in the cockpit, too, because we were allowed
to. So your cutting and pasting had a ripple effect into levels and levels of reality, I think is what I'm hearing you say.
Copy-pasted the F-16 into
the
timeline.
But it rippled out into the greater manifested world because of all these other F-16s that started to show up.
Yes.
Now, someone told me a story similar to that, and so that's why I believe you. She's a woman who's in this class. I teach this adult education class on consciousness to these women on the Upper East Side. But they tell me stories sometimes about healers and things showing up. But this one woman told me she was in a pharmacy for some medicine that she needed to take, and it was rare medicine, and she ordered it, and she goes to the pharmacist, and it's not, and they don't have it anywhere, and he's looking all over for it, and she goes, well, I guess you don't have it. But then she looks, turns back, and she goes, what's that right there next to you?
Yeah.
And the pharmacist says, yes, this is your medicine, but I don't know how it got there.
Yeah.
So she couldn't believe it,
yeah.
But it's very similar to what you just said.
Absolutely, because, as I said, this is a natural human ability. Mm-hmm. We all of us, have this ability, and we do it every day, many times a day. Most people just don't realize that that's what's happened. All I did was I found a scientific protocol. I found the root science of it. And then knowing that root science, I experimented with various ways to do it on command. So now, can I manifest everything? No, of course not.
But you do.
I use it all the time.
You do.
But to help people generally, I find a lot of missing animals.
You do? So it's a protocol.
It's a protocol, and I teach it.
Could you change people's state of health that way?
Yes. I adapted it to something called reality shift healing. I used it on myself.
Yes, you had a tremendous shift of reality in that. So it's not connected to time, though. It's a space thing. It's a time-space thing.
It's all time and space. You're always dealing with coexisting timelines, streaming timelines, and the core matrix. Now, when somebody does a reality shift manifestation, you're not changing a timeline.
You're not.
You're just changing your localized environment, okay? It's like one of the major reports that I get from people all the time, and I've investigated this so many times. People are driving down a street. They live on that street. Mm-hmm. They've been up and down that street 1,000 times, and all of a sudden, there's something very different about it.
Well, Whitley has that famous experience where he goes off the road and he's in other thing.
That's right. Yes. And when Whitley and I got together and we talked about it and I was able to explain it to him, he understood. Whitley has had many precognition episodes, just like I have. As a matter of fact, precognition is the same protocol science. Let's say I have a dream. In fact, one of my precogs was the attack of 9/11.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, you had a dream that it was going to happen?
Oh, big. Now, what I do is I put them into the public. Mm. When I have these things, I take a chance and I go, hey.
Did you put that into the public?
I certainly did.
On what day?
The day before.
Okay, and what did you see in your precog?
I wrote it up. It was part of a larger investigation, and this just happened to be something that came to me just off the top of my head, I saw an attack on the Twin Towers. I actually mentioned them. I ask, I'm asking people that there was a, as I remembered that there was a terrorist attack on the Twin Towers years before, and I said, do they allow planes to fly around these towers? I said, that's the danger I see. I see the military being attacked. I see our financial industry being wounded terribly.
Right.
I said, I saw that there's a Middle East connection. I said, but it's very ancient.
Mm.
It's very, very ancient, and I'm very, very specific about it.
Well, you know, Alex Gray also had a precog of the World Trade.
I'm not the only one.
That he put in a painting in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
There's two planes. One's flying directly over the World Trade Center,
yeah.
And the other one looks like it's heading into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And there's a little look of a terrorist there. So, yeah, you're not the
yeah.
only
one. Oh, no.
But does that mean that time is predestined?
No.
What does it mean?
No.
Tell me about time.
Here's what this means.
Okay.
Precognition has to do with the brain, the dreaming brain, being the interface to the core matrix. And because we're interfacing with the core matrix, we're interfacing with other coexisting timelines. Whoever had a precog of the World Trade Centers or anything that happened on 9/11 saw it in a coexisting timeline that was moving in our future. In other words, I'm having the dream at the same time, but in that other coexisting timeline, it's our future.
And it's actually
it's happened. A form of time travel.
It's actually happened, like, as if, like, this timeline's already ahead of our timeline.
For me, it was about 14 hours, 12 or 14 hours.
Right. So it's like our consciousness is not dimensionally located. In a sense, would you say?
No, it's not.
It's part of...
That's a good one.
Yes, I just made it up.
Oh, it's very good.
It's part of an overview matrix of all timelines.
Yes.
However many there may be.
Yeah, it's I cannot tell you how many. Mm-hmm. That would be impossible for me to do.
Right.
I cannot tell you how many we interact with. I can just tell you that all psychic phenomenon, all precognition, all postcognition, this is the science behind it. And so I know that I'm just a reflection of what millions of people experience, not necessarily 9/11, but having precogs, visionary dreams, psychic phenomenon is the normal human condition, not abnormal.
So where's your research going now? It's very interesting. So where are you taking it? Should we say into the future?
I mean,
you know my you know what my favorite line by George Bush was, that the future will be better tomorrow. But, of course, he didn't know what he was saying. But, no, so yes, there's a future.
Well, but, I do a number of things.
Yes, tell me.
The first thing is I try to use my knowledge to help people individually and collectively. And
well,
I do.
The healing.
The healing and information. Mm-hmm. I do. If I feel that there's something that I need the world to know about, something that I see coming, I let them know. Mm-hmm. And so it happens.
And we could shift it.
Sometimes. That's my goal. My goal is to get enough people with precognition abilities. And I've done this before on a small scale. I've stopped plane crashes. I've stopped a train crash. I've But it's still experimental because I don't have the think tank. I want a think
tank.
Let's
form a think tank. But
I want a think tank.
But you didn't stop the Donald Trump election.
No, that was something I would never have stopped.
Oh, really? Because a lot of people that were already living the Clinton reality and saw that and saw the
I'm going to reveal to you something important, and I don't want to talk politics.
Oh, I don't want to talk politics.
But I'm going to reveal to you something important, and this is the only thing that they need to know. And by the way, this is on my website. I did this in real time. I've been talking about this since 2015. There was something going on called a time-looping nuclear disaster.
Mm-hmm.
The core matrix has been offsetting the destruction of the planet by nuclear forces for a long time. And every time that we would have this nuclear disaster happen, it's an Earth-ending event. We would get rebooted.
We'd get edited.
more than edited, rebooted.
So you mean these things have happened and then
many times.
And then in the time shifts, it's been reset. Sort of like
reset.
Like Groundhog Day, right?
Yeah.
Don't you love that movie?
Yes, I do, actually.
Because each day, he doesn't get it until he becomes impeccable.
I love that movie.
Yes. So those are the type of things that have been reset. Yes.
So I was really concerned about this time looping nuclear disaster end event, and everybody that follows me knows it. When this election began, I had a vision, a very strong one, and I'm documented as that my visions and my precogs, they come true. They're very accurate and they're very detailed. I've done it very publicly, and I've even done it with Whit Whitley on his show, a whole spate of them for the year 2010. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're going to listen to anybody, this is something I want people to pay attention to,
right,
simply because I'm documented. And what I saw was that there were two coexisting timelines, one in which Hillary Clinton was the president and one in which Donald Trump was the president. And this was before he even won the Republican
primaries.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to talk politics. This is not about politics. This was about saving the world.
Yeah, it's about timelines. Okay.
I was very concerned. And what I saw and what I reported was that if Donald Trump became president, we don't have the nuclear holocaust. Mm. If Hillary Clinton became president, we would. And it wasn't because she was going to push a button, and it wasn't because he was going to. It was because her security policies were lacking.
Well, yeah.
Her security policies were lacking, and her laxness in this was going to, by virtue of that, allow this to occur.
Well, it's the same thing with Al Gore, George Bush. If Al Gore got elected, we probably wouldn't have had the 9/11 plane thing.
Well, if Al Gore had been elected, we wouldn't have gone into the Iraq War, which was...
It would have changed so many things.
That was just
another time shift example.
That was a time shift. So, and I reported on it back then. So the thing with Trump is that the core matrix has something called the prime directive. And its sole prime directive is to make sure that this planet and its life force remains intact.
Survives. And
it had so many times that it could reboot us before it ran out of the elements to do so. We were on the cusp of nothing. So the core matrix has no pony in any politics or anything on this planet. It has
except
no
life itself.
Except life itself. It doesn't care who's running this country, who's doing this, who's making money, who's not, who's poor, who's rich, who's happy, who's sad.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It has a whole other criteria. Okay? It's not a person. It's not God.
Right.
All right. Right. And it's not divine.
It's bigger. It's in a way.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I get it.
So its only concern was to keep us intact. And so it kept, every time it rebooted us, it kept putting in a more advanced version of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He started off in the worst possible, crass way. And then he started to get smarter and smarter. And better.
Well, he's also bringing people together, coming together. I mean, there's a lot of positive mobility that's happening as a result of all that crassness and negativity.
It's true. But for purposes of this, not being political, to save the planet, it could not have ever been Hillary Clinton. It had to be Donald Trump. The question was, what was going to happen? Right down to the last minute, as the world knows, who paid attention to this election, it looked like Hillary Clinton was going to run away with the election.
All the polls said that.
And I kept saying, no, I see those two timelines, and the one with Hillary Clinton as president was fading, fading, fading. It was like looking through gauze. That's exactly what I wrote. Right through that day, I said, have heart. Because to me, it was saving the world.
What else do you see?
I saw that.
In non-politics, you see anything else? You see like a time when ETs, the disclosure, will become fully acknowledged? Do you see that or no?
The United States does not have an exit policy for this as yet.
For the disclosure.
Yes. An exit policy, in fact, the Air Force really messed things up when they gave an inaccurate review of what happened at Roswell with the dropping dummies,
and
they didn't get the years.
Though.
Now they have to, they're going to come out and say, oh, ETs are real, and now they have to backpedal with
But it
bad
has to
report.
Happen at some point.
There's Why?
Because I think there's a time shift, there's a collective consciousness that is so convinced that it's coming. If you read Whitley's last book, The Supernatural, I'm sure you did, we have to make the momentum of the people in order for this reality to start to make its appearance. So more and more people are having sightings. Sightings are increased worldwide. More and more people are convinced that the government's covering it up.
Well, I'm going to suggest that the ETs that are being sought live here on planet Earth, don't travel out there. And they're the descendants of, and they've been here for a very long time.
That's possible.
And, in fact, I would venture to say that they're probably walking around. You may not even know that
But there are moments,
with.
Like for Whitley and maybe even me, where, boom, you meet these little grays and...
They're real.
Yeah,
there are real grays, and then there are some that are manufactured.
And the government knows that, but it's saying it's the government. You don't see any time in the next year or so where the government's going to come out and say, guess what,
Not we the have government. Company. Not the government.
Well, I'm doing my part to put that out there. And I guess it's a grassroots movement. Like Whitley is one of the
There's
leaders.
There's nothing wrong that. With that.
No, but will it become a shift in consciousness where people acknowledge it worldwide?
Yes.
Okay.
That is going to happen because they need to be protected.
The ETs. But we need to be prepared to get rid of our violence and our just fear of each other. Look at the whole immigration. It's fear of the unknown.
They watch.
Right.
They see. They don't interfere. But just think of it. You don't even have to think of them in any other way except it's a very violent Earth.
Yeah.
There's not that many of them. So they want to protect themselves. And there may be some who work with a government. But I would suggest, I would just try to think about that. Probably they're not, most of them. And that they're not working with the government. The ones that you're thinking about...
No, I think they're not. I think they're beyond the government. I don't think the government has any idea.
They don't collude.
No,
it's,
the government...
It's sort of ridiculous to even think that.
But there are people in the government that are well aware of their existence.
And they have.
Yeah.
ETs and government, that has happened.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I've read and heard a lot of pretty wild stories about sort of... They sound science fiction to me about ET... Military involvement.
No, I don't believe the military stuff. I think sometimes they're disguised as military, which is what confuses people with the MyLabs, but I don't believe the MyLabs.
You can reverse it. The military has sometimes disguised itself as ET.
That could be, but I also think the other thing happens as
possible.
Well.
Very possible.
Right. And I think...
I wouldn't put it past.
So, for your future and your timeline, time shift research, what does that look like? Where are you moving along those lines?
I would like to put together a think tank.
Okay. Count me in.
Great. I want to do it to help people and help the planet. It'll be more than just my research. It's all enigmas, everything. And to pull people together, to have them understand what their true capabilities are.
As time beings.
As time beings, we are, definitely. But there's more to life than just what I know.
I hope so.
I think tank has
many different aspects.
A lot of aspects.
And are you open to modifying your views if you get more information?
I'm always modifying my, okay. not my views, my science.
Yeah, your science.
Science is an ever-evolving. Today, I can say this is the way something works, and if I learn something very concrete tomorrow, then that'll...
Maybe we'll do some traveling, time traveling, shifting ourselves.
It's natural. It's part of our natural order. Who knows how many times that's occurred while we've been talking.
I'm Alan Steinfeld with Starfire Tour, and you can reach me at newrealities.com. You can look for this interview on youtube.com/newrealities along with 1,000 others, and of course you can find Starfire Tour all over the internet. Follow her research, go to her Facebook page, make comments, be part of her time experiments.